Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coach Lalisa. Terry, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing great. As a matter of fact, more than great. I mean, it's another day, another opportunity to teach and learn and just to be on my purpose.
Oh, I'm really happy. Listen, well, you know what? That is incredible because I was just looking at some Facebook posts and I saw where, on another person's website, I saw where there are a lot of people who still have not yet found, tapped, or even living their purpose. Some have found their purpose, but not able to live it. And some have not even found it. So the fact that, so you're in this number that's very few, you know, you're one of the few, I should say. So that is incredible. So you got to, you know, you got to tell everybody how you did that, how you do that. But I know you're here today. You have a special message for us today, and we can't wait to hear what it is. And let's, you know, get right into the discussion. But before we do that, I just want to say welcome to each and every one of you to the broadcast. They'll see some changes there. The name of the show has been changed. So we want to definitely announce that and celebrate our new name, the Lalisa Williams Show. And the reason for that, well, we'll tell you a little bit about that maybe toward the end of the show, why we had to change the name. So it's just going to be a great, fabulous day. We're going to be empowered, being motivated, be inspired to be our best, you know, for those of you, if this is your first time tuning in, we welcome you to the broadcast. Want to let you know that Professor Terry Benjamin, if you don't know already, he is the author of the book, the movie, the documentary, the play, and it's going to be so many other things, the workshops that go on out there at the Rahway Public Library, and he can talk more about that. Sexy at 60, I tell you, what incredible. And I met a woman on Sunday. She's 88 years old. First of all, she pulled into the parking lot, jumped out of her car like she was in her, you know, very young. And she was sharp from head to toe. And I said, stop her. I said, now, how old are you? You know, and you jumped out your car, you know, like you were blown away. And I said, you drove? She was like, yeah. And I said, wow. And she told me her age. I said, can I take a picture of you?
Oh, my goodness, great.
She said, yeah. She said, but don't put it on Facebook. I said, no.
She hit the Facebook.
But I have a friend who is doing this work called Sexy at 60, and I said, he needs to talk to you, because at 88, for you to be, and I mean, and she's like this every Sunday. I've been knowing her 80 for years, but it just never dawned on me how old she is. Sometimes, you know, like with children, we always see them at the age that they were when we met them.
Yes, yes.
But anyway, I just wanted to say that. So, but that's a great work that you're doing, and there are so many people. And I said, "Ooh," I said, "Can you give me some of what you got, lady?" And she
said, wow.
So you're going to be the same. And I says, "Well, I pray from your work, from your mouth to God's ears, because, I mean, this lady is on the move." But so yes, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but just wanted to share that with you. What a great work you're doing to inspire people.
Well, you know, I figure necessary at this particular time. I'm like you. I'm out there with among people, and it's so much sadness. You know, so much sadness and conflict. And I think it's because we're not following God's word. We're not following the best resource that we have, which is so sad.
You know what, Terry? That's so good that you're saying that, because you're probably going to yourself, after all these years, you're like, no wonder the people.
Yeah.
Wow. Because isn't everything in his word?
It is. And that's what's so crazy. You know, you look near and far, and it's right there. And
well,
everybody has a Bible in their house. You know, whether they use it or not, it's probably there. You know?
Well, now you'll reflect back to, and if you have a copy of God's Plan for My Success, I'm sure you do. If you don't,
yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Now, when you turn on the back of the book, you will see the leading paragraph in that book talks about how, on the leading paragraph, I correct this concept that people say children come without instructions. People often say marriages didn't come with instructions. But in that book, that's my leading comment, is that there are instructions, so we have to stop saying that. But you're right. Many people never read the instructions, and for those who read them, never followed them. But because people are so accustomed to saying that, they tell their children, and it's been passed down through generations. So therefore, people don't even try to look for them, because they were told at their earliest in life that there were none.
And that's so sad, because again, you know, we get away from the source. You know, I think the further we're away from the source, the more complicated our life is. And I find for myself, the older I get, the more I want simplicity. I don't want complication. I want my life to be simple. You know, that's why I respect my body, I respect my mind, I respect my spirit, and I respect the fact that, you know, within every day there is rituals, there's traditions, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think, you know, we need to have rituals. I think we need to have traditions, because that gives us a path to be on, and I think we need that.
And here's the thing. There are people who are members in the body of Christ who also say that. So it's not just individuals who don't know about the Bible or shouldn't know. These are individuals who attend church on a regular basis, Sunday school, Bible study, you name it. And these comments, I've heard them come out of their mouths, that life didn't come with instructions. So for a long time, you know, I kind of thought that too, until I read the Bible. And I said, wow, the instructions are right here. Especially if you just read the book of Proverbs, if you just read that one book,
yeah,
and didn't read any other book, not the book of Psalms, but just the book of Proverbs, you would have every instruction you would need to be a success in life.
Yeah, but I think, again, people keep on this. See, they think that's too easy. That's too easy. That's too simple.
And guess what? But here's how he backed that up. Over in the New Testament, I don't have the exact reference, but he says, it's so simple that men will stumble over it.
Yes, yes.
So he's backed it up and told people now, be aware, it's going to be simple. It's going to seem so simple. So really, there's no excuse for those of us who really study the Word not to know this, because he told us it would be simple. He said it would be so. In other words, it's going to be so simple, you won't believe it. But believe it anyway, because I've made it simple so that it could be followed by the most illiterate person. It could be followed by the weakest person, the strongest. I made it so that it's available to anyone. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. You don't need to be some great engineer. You're just very simple. But we sometimes, again, we kind of grow up thinking that in order for something to be really, really powerful, that it has to be, you know, complex.
Well, that's the thing, and that's what it's so sad, because, you know, it's almost like someone has given you a gift and you've yet to unwrap it. it's given to you. It's given to you free of charge, but all you have to do is use it. But people don't want to use it. They want to go to psychiatrists and psychologists. They want to go to Oprah. I love her, but, you know.
Sure.
A life that many of us can live, you know. So we have to live our own life, you know.
You're funny. But you know what? You're so funny. But here's what's going to happen. And the reason I say you're funny, here's what I'm hearing all of this. What's going to happen is that he's pouring all of these, put it like this. The way you're speaking is how a lot of people get launched into it's a very practical preaching, Bible teaching kind of life, you know, because of what you've experienced in your life, and now coming to this, you're going to be able to reach a lot of people who otherwise wouldn't have gotten it, but because of the way you'll be able to come from a whole different perspective. You won't be able to stand there and say, oh, yeah, I was, you know, all these years I was, you know, following Jesus and this and this and that, and I saw this and that. No, you'll be able to just come with you'll just open the Word, and the truth is right there. And you will be, and because you're a reader, and because you're so well read, you will have many experiences to connect people with. And I can't wait. And make sure you invite me to your first sermon, teaching.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that.
You got to, because listen, he says that he has given us all gifts, and he's coming for them. He's already given you the gift of teaching. He's given you the gift of reading. He's already given you the gift of speaking. He's given you the gift of... So don't think now that he is not going to use those for his purpose. You got Terry's purpose. I got my purpose. But guess what? He got a purpose too.
And it's so funny because, you know, I find myself speaking more and more to, you know, to young men and older men. And last week I was at a men's fellowship, and there's many, many men in the church that I attend, but the session, we only had maybe about 15 men, and I'm saying that 15 men maybe out of 500 men, And the thing is that at this particular point, men more so than anybody need to come together. And I say that only because I think that, you know, if I read my Bible correctly, it's really about headship, and that you know, God and Jesus Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman, and you know, and so forth and so on. And many times when I speak about headship, a lot of women don't want to hear that. But I think what it is that that's what they don't want to hear. But it's hard to respect a man when a man is not doing what a man is supposed to do in terms of the Bible. Now, a man can be a man, he can be manly, he can be strong and whatnot, but if he doesn't have any spiritual sense, that authority that he has will be abused. And we find many men in their later years who have had many women, unless they have a wife, in their last days, they're very lonely. They're very lonely because they really weren't meant to just be alone. And what happens a lot of times is that men get to the point where they get older and they begin to isolate themselves. They begin to stay to themselves, and then they have secret health problems. They may have prostate problems. They may have heart problems. They may have cholesterol problems. They may have sexual dysfunctions. And unless you have a loving and kind mate, you can't get through this by yourself. And now I find many men coming together. My son, we just had Father's Day, of course, and one of his pleasures in life is to take me to the movies, and to buy me popcorn and some kind of drink or whatnot, and just be there with me, because when he was young, I mean, we would go to movies every weekend. And I think it's so funny. I think I only have one son that I birthed, you know. And we are so close. I mean, every time we see each other, we hug each other, we kiss each other, we love each other. And I'm glad that we're at this point in our lives, because when I was growing up during the 50s, you did not show that type of affection to your children, especially your son. I mean, you can hold and kiss your daughter, but you never held or kissed your son. And I found myself, I look forward to seeing him because I could do it. And it's so funny. My father is 76, and he does it with me. And the thing is that, you know, I find there are brothers in the church that we greet, we shake hands, we give the man hugs, because again, we know at this time, especially this time, we need to be together. And men really, in this expression that we like to use in the culture, it's like a man up. Well, yeah, we need to man up. But again, see, that's a responsibility, and many men don't want to man up because they don't want to take responsibility, because to be responsible means to be consistent. And a lot of us don't want to be consistent. We want to sort of go along with the wind, and, you know, and whatever we feel like doing, it's fine. But you know what? That's not the way that we were made. We were not made to just to fly by the seat of our pants. We need instruction. We have instruction, and we have purpose. And once we realize this, we will be better men, but we'll also be better people. And the thing is, I think in my life, I want to be a better person. I want to be the best person I could possibly be. And I can't do it by myself. I can't do it alone. I can't do it without instruction. And if I'm going to go to somebody to teach me, I'm going to go to the best teacher that's ever been. And that teacher, to me, is God and his son, Jesus Christ. I mean, they are the most highest form of intelligence. And for me to ignore that would be not just unmanly, but would be kind of silly, I believe. And you know, I just want to just share one scripture before we go on. And this is the scriptures that I, as a matter of fact, I think I even talked about this last week, because it was just so relevant. And it's from 1 Corinthians 13:11, where it says that when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And the thing is, I think when we talk about maturity, it's not just numbers, but you must do something. You must live on purpose. And that's basically what I'm talking about. You know, we had Father's Day, but you know what? I find a lot of times with these holidays, we have the holiday, and then we just sort of put it to the side. But no, every day is Father's Day, because every day is an opportunity for me to not only instruct myself, the instructions that I've gotten from my Bible, but also to instruct my family. And the last thing, to be an example of that, because I find, you know, people have always told me that I have a charisma, and I really didn't know what that was, but I think to be a charismatic that has charisma is to radiate what you live and what you believe, and when I live and what I believe, I radiate that, and people are drawn to me, and it's not something that I said, it's really something that I am. And there's no denying it. I remember I was in graduate school. I was in class, and this one guy walked up to me, and he said, you're a Christian, right? And that time, I didn't identify myself as Christian. I identified myself as spiritual. But you would have to shoot me to say that I was Christian. Make a long story short, he said, you're Christian. I said, well, I'm spiritual. I believe in God and Jesus Christ and whatnot. He said, yeah, because there's just something different about you. There's an aura about you that, you know, I know a lot of people are attracted to you. And I wanted to say, whenever you say something in class, you don't really say a whole lot, but I know you have a lot to say. And I really listen, and I really learn, and I really appreciate that. Now, I can't tell you that man's name. I can't tell you when it was said, but it was some years ago in the classroom, and I never forgot that. But my point is simply that, you know, you are what you are because of what you take in into yourself, and also, and it's not just food, but it's information, and it's things that I think it's an inside job. You reflect outside what is inside, and I think that's what people see in me, or at least that's what they tell me.
Yes. Oh, yes. So, you know, in talking about, you know, the father, like you said, the are you a purpose-driven dad, you know?
Yeah, please, yes.
Great topic, you know, to get these men in their rightful place. I know many are trying. It's a worldwide effort. Many are trying to also work with the women and get them on in their place. And just imagine, you know, all of that order being brought about. So there are going to be some adjustments. But at the same time, we know that Jesus is coming back soon. And he told us what to expect during these times. There's, you know, for the believer, we know, like you said, it's written in the book. We already know what he said that will happen. But at the same time, he told us to work while it is day. Because when night comes, no man can work. So we must continue to do what we're doing. That's why we come to the radio show, whether it be this one or other shows. That's why we continue to preach and teach and to do what you're doing, talking about for the men need to listen to you. They need to come. And, you know, I just believe that God's going to give you a bigger avenue, okay, because you have a message that can help the ones that he has already ordained for them to be helped.
Well, but Lisa, one of the things you have to understand, and I'm just going to really put this out to all your listeners and everybody who I encounter, understand this, you know, I'm a work in progress, okay? So when I'm teaching you, I'm teaching myself. That's what people understand. I mean, I don't know it all. If I did, I wouldn't read so much. I mean, I'm always reading, I'm always studying and whatnot, because I know that, you know, I need to know more. You know, it's so funny. I mean, I always knew this, but the thing I'm going to just get ready to share is the fact that this is something that all men and women, if you don't hear anything from this program, just to hear this next part, and this is not for me. This is from a gentleman named Dr. Mars Monroe, and it's in a book called Understanding the Purpose and Power of Men, and this is subtitled A Book for Men and the Women Who Love Them, and on page 197, he sort of sums up some principles about male and female differences. And I learned this some time ago, but I didn't articulate the way he said it. And it says here, and I just wanted, this is from Dr. Mars Monroe, and he says here, the primary needs of males are, number one, respect, number two, recreational companionship, and number three, sex. The primary needs of females are love, conversation, and affection. Now, I think, you know, this is almost revolutionary because it's so simple. You know, it's so simple that, you know, men who are players, and I was a player when I was out there, I know that if I gave a woman a particular compliment, that would definitely set me up lovely, you know, because there's certain, I mean, one of the things, you know, I shouldn't say it's on radio because now guys are taking and use it for evil, But one of the things that women love, I don't care how old a woman is, when you walk up to a woman and say, you know what, you really look good for 25. Now, you know, most of the time the woman maybe in her 30s, 40s, even 50s. But if you tell a woman that she looks younger than what she is, that will make her day. Now, you can use that for evil or you can use it for good, okay? But the thing is, and they said that women love, what they need love, conversation, and affection. You know, one of the things with my wife, I mean, every day, this is my job. Every day I have to hug her and kiss her and tell her how beautiful she is. And the thing is, I mean, and I don't mind doing it because it is my job and it is true. You know, she is a beautiful woman, you know. She is kind, she's loving, she's affectionate.
Well, we better get that book into the hands of every man, at least every married one.
Oh, please. You know, because, they need it, you know.
Well, you know what? I have the book by Dr. Miles Monroe, The Power and Purpose of a Woman.
Oh, it's complimentary.
Awesome book. And one of the things I always like to quote from there that he says about a woman, he says that when you don't know the purpose of a thing, abuse is inevitable.
Oh, please, yes.
And he's encouraging women to find their purpose. So that's really good. But you know what, Terry, when you said that, you know, you're still learning. And here's the thing. We all are. Unfortunately, some don't realize it or recognize it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change things. We all are. And we are all in school 24/7. And that we, when we read from Scripture, anything we learn from there, we are to be the first partaker. So every preacher, whether it's Bishop T.D. Jakes, whether it's Dr. Charles Stanley, whether it's Pastor Joel Osteen, Dr. Joyce Myers, doesn't matter who it is, they have to be the first partaker of that word. So in other words, it was needed for them. Okay.
Yeah.
They're not just preaching it because they found it in the Word and thought, oh, this would be good for me to share with you.
And not only that, but again, I think, again, we need to understand, you know, the nature of men and women. You know, a woman is supposed to be, she's complimentary, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Now, back to that. Oh, yes. That's all. No.
Showed itself, right?
When I went to the God's Leading Lady Conference some years ago, at least a good 9 years ago, that Bishop T.D. Jakes was going around the country and doing several of them in various states. He did one in Philadelphia, so I was able to attend that. And I can't think of the man's name right now, but this man is very dynamic in the teaching women on, you know, the differences of a man. I can't think of his name, but he's well known, and he just did, was very powerful, life-changing. I never forgot some of his teachings. And then there's a book, which I can't quote the author right now, but he wrote a book, His Needs, Her Needs. In his book, he's a psychologist and all that. In his book, he describes her top five needs and his top five needs. And the reason I read the book, most have it because I gave it to someone that, you know, was in need, and, you know, I didn't get it back. But my point was that some very similar to what you're saying with Dr. Miles Monroe. So the teaching is out there. Again, you know, for people to have gotten to get to know, but you're absolutely right. And it helped me to understand, you know, even in my marriage. So that's what was going on. I'm living based on my needs, not considering his top five. And of course, we all may have the same, but I love how he says, these are his top five. These are her top five. Meet these first, but go ahead.
Yeah, and also you're looking at Miles Monroe again. As I said, it's respect, and so the number one is respect. But the number one for females is love, and I think with respect, I mean, you know, men. You know, I guess what you have to do is you have to give respect to get respect. See, just because you're male, that doesn't mean that you're going to get respect. I mean, my children love me. You know, like I said, you know, Father's Day, you know, we had a big big breakfast, traditional breakfast, and they got me. I got a new cover for my Kindle. They took me to Red Lobster, which I tried to discourage them because I said we got to go there. It's going to be a long wait. We had to wait an hour and a half. This is what they wanted to do, and so I went along with it. And you know, again, and so I have all the gifts and clothes and those type of things as well. But my point is that that's just one day, you know. And that's one day when they can say, you know, we love you, Dad, and we respect and we honor you. But I think, again, we need to honor ourselves as men, and we need to do the things that we need to do to affect a leadership position. I mean, when I was growing up, women never spoke from the pulpit, you know. Now it's different, you know. But we respect women and know that they have different gifts, you know. And we need to plug into that. And I think, again, you know, it's just so sad that we live in a society where we have so much information, but we have very little wisdom. You know, we have a lot of people telling us different things, but, you know, what's the backing? I find any man who is out there in the public speaking arena, if he's not quoting the Bible, he's not really telling the truth. Because I don't care how smart he thinks that he is, there's always somebody smarter and with somebody greater, but the ultimate teacher is God, and giving us an example of His Son. Oh, like we can't be perfect like Jesus Christ, but then again, that's the fun thing, you know, because our life should be about striving for perfection. We'll probably never reach it if we transfer over, but you know what? But it gives you purpose. I mean, you have something to do every day. They're missing around time. They're bored. No, you're not bored. You don't know what you need to be doing. But when you start to do something, every day is a holiday. Every day is full of purpose. Because with no purpose, there's no hope. And with no hope, there's no life, because there's no vision. And like what they said, without vision, the people perish. Without vision, you perish. Because what do you have to look forward to? You know, maturity is really being that person who has the idea or the thought that his life is to be lived beyond him. You know, maturity involves living your life so that your life outlives you. Yeah. Your life will be seen in people that you leave behind, not what you think that you're doing right now. You know, because you know our life is fleeting at best. But I want to go to my rest knowing that I did all that I could. And so funny, you talk about the teaching. I tell you, Lisa, that the people so that you were born to be teachers. Teaching was the last thing that I ever wanted to do in my life. Who wants to be a teacher? Teachers are corny. I don't want to be a teacher. I want to live at the school. You know, I don't want to go through that studying. And for what? I mean, that's why when I got involved in college, I spent 30 years as a college administrator, not a teacher, because the money was in administration, not in teaching. But I find that, you know, when God puts something inside you, you can't escape that. It's going to come out one way or the other. And I'm so glad that this came out in this particular arena, because it's spiritually based. And what I have to teach is not just of my own understanding, but it is a greater understanding. And so as I teach, I'm learning. And as I'm learning, I'm growing. And it's a beautiful thing for a man who's almost 62 years old to say, I'm still growing. That's a beautiful thing.
That's it.
You know, because most men at 60, they want to sort of pack it in. They want to call it a day.
Oh.
So I always say, it's not over until it's over. And it's really, and even more so, I'm saying that it's not over until God says it's over.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Well, you know what? Well, we're out of time, and so it's not over, but the show is over. But it ain't over.
But the lesson continues, okay?
Yes, because you know what? This is awesome and this is great. And so we thank you for tuning in. For those of you who are listening to the broadcast, for those of you who will listen to the archives, because you can listen to the archives at any time at your own freedom. And we just really want to encourage people that you have a purpose, male or female. You have a purpose. Don't go around feeling like your life isn't all that. Don't go around thinking that, you know, you don't have anything really going on. You have a lot going on. You have a God-given purpose, and you got to live it for the men. Again, you know, just following up on Father's Day. We know it was a great celebration. A lot of men getting accolades and being treated with such love and kindness from their loved ones. And then there were some fathers, I'm sure, that were forgotten. But just know, God did not forget you. And for those of you who are missing your fathers, some people were unfortunately had to bury their pet fathers on this very special day. We've seen in the news some tragedies that happened right here at Father's Day. But God is our Father, and we thank Him for all the lessons that He gives us, and we feel comfortable knowing that any situation in our lives, we know we can turn to Him for the answer. And with that right there, like you said, that will give us that energy, that drive to want to press on to, you know, try to, like you said, another opportunity. Today is another opportunity. Now, Terry.
And what is the new name of your show now?
Yes. Okay. Thank you for reminding me.
You can get in there.
I know. Thank you for No, maybe I should leave a little more suspense and wait till tomorrow. But no. It's now the Lilisa Williams Show. Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Yes. It's now the Lilisa Williams Show. So we are about to go to some other networks, and so we don't want, and that's the show that they want to have on their network, the Lilisa Williams Show. So
congratulations to you.
Thank you. God bless.
More than deserving, because you've been doing some great work, you know, from Harvest Radio to where you are right now, and I've been following your career, and it's been inspiring to me.
You know, well, Terry,
your growth and your development, and I know that it's going to continue.
But, you know, growing up, I mean, really, I never in my life thought I'd be a radio show host.
See that?
I mean, we had a local radio station in Cincinnati that was very popular, WCIN, Lincoln Ware. He is still on the air there in Cincinnati. And these people, I could just reach out and touch them. Had I known this then, I'd have been hanging out at the radio station.
See that?
Instead of hanging out in the street and skipping school and getting high, I would have. The radio station was just like a mile from my home. I could walk. I had no goal, no dream. Well, put it like this. I have to admit, there was a thought that would come every now and again. One of my secret thoughts was that I wanted to be a journalist, like a newscaster. But quickly, there was a voice that said, you could never do that. Quickly. The thought never lasted beyond a half a second. Because quickly, there were all these thoughts. You can't do that. You're black. You're ugly. You're poor. You're dumb. Those were the four main thoughts that always took anything like that. So I didn't even think to even ask anybody about it, let alone pursue it. Those four thoughts were all those four enemies. That's why I could say overcoming the enemy who tried to destroy my life. Because now I'm doing some of those childhood things that back then was just a fleeting thought.
That's just something. But you know what? I don't think God would have put that in your spirit if He didn't have a means for you to realize that. That's what I'm finding.
Finally, yeah. Same thing with college and all those things. I was, you'll never do that. You can't do that. You're dumb. You can't do that. That was what it would come. So when I did go back to college, that was the first thing I had to get out my head. I had to. And when I got my first A in that class right there at Essex, and I continued to get A's, I thought, wow, I'm not dumb after all. Let me know. That's why it's important for me to get into these grade schools and do my motivational thing with them and to empower them, because realizing that some of them may have a similar voice talking to them, you know. So I need to be that voice that is louder and bigger so that at least when this other voice comes, they have a competing voice.
Exactly.
That other one.
Again, we limit ourselves, and that's what we got to stop doing. You know, we have these self-limiting conversations. You know, understand that, you know, God is limitless, and you know, He he knows. You know, we can't know as much as he does, but we do know that he's in charge.
He is large and in charge.
That's for sure.
And he gives us the reins, but he's right there. Just like you do your children, you know, you let them, you know, when you're in, even whether you're in the grocery store and you let them guide the cart, but you're standing right behind them.
Yeah.
Or you allow them to, you know, you're right there with them. Okay? So he gives us enough leeway to do things. He's given us gifts and talents. Now he expects us to make good of them. But if we make a mistake or make a wrong turn, he's right there to redirect us and to put us back on the right path. But we have to take those risks, and we have to go out and, you know, and make good of the talents that he's given us. But I do realize that for some people, they have not yet discovered the talents.
Yes.
Because when the talent should have manifested, even when they were very young, there was something that came against them based on their standing in their household or their standing in their community, or depending on what schools they attended. Sometimes, you know, you have other people who tell you these things, where we get our concept from. People tell you, you can't do that, you can't do this. Or,
and sometimes they mean well, because they don't want to get hurt. Don't
strive for that.
Being,
yeah.
You know, a radio personality, because you might not make it, you know.
Right. Exactly.
So they're saying that maliciousness. They're saying, well, I don't want to get hurt.
And, you know, that's so funny that you would say that, because when I was given the radio show on Harvest Radio, when the ladies told me I could do a show, and I'm thinking, this is AM, this is big stuff here. And I asked her, I went back and said, why did you say yes to me? I mean, you don't know me. I don't have a radio portfolio. I've never been on the air. She says, you have this natural thing. It's just natural. And I said, what? You mean all this time I had something that was... I could have really.
Know it, huh?
I said, I haven't been to broadcasting school, and everything I looked up on the internet said, you know, in order to get on the radio, you got to be in the broadcasting school, have been taught this, this, and that. And I told her, she says, I'm quite glad you didn't get all that, because she said a lot of times that doesn't, I guess, allow the person to just be themselves, which what the audience needs is just a person who is themselves. I guess that's why Steve Harvey, people like Steve Harvey, is so popular. He's just himself, and he really doesn't care if anyone thinks that he's off color or this or that. He cares less, because what attracts people to him is that he's authentic.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, and I think all men and women have to be authentic, you know, in the image of God, because, again, this is what we've been given, and this is what we have to work with.
That's right. Don't try to be someone else. Just be yourself. I look at shows like Wendy Williams and people, she's herself, you know.
Yeah. Whether you like her or not.
Exactly. And that's what makes people like you, is when you're yourself. Look at Monique. She's another one. She's herself. Okay, so that's what I think the woman was trying to tell me, which is the same thing, you know, you were saying. So, you know, it's so, so important that we help others who, you know, have these goals and dreams and gifts, and they will have somebody to tell them. You know, though I know for myself, it didn't come from me to think I can do these things. I know some people do have that ability to, even though everyone around them says you can't do, they have this inner thing that tells them, yes, you can. And I had it too. We all have it. It's just that I didn't let that inner voice speak until I got into my 30s.
Well, see, that's the thing, and then a lot of times we think it was too late, but as long as there's life, there's no such thing as this being too late.
Exactly. You know, so we're excited. We're still over at PSUI Institute over there in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and we're still holding the training. So for individuals who also want to release their power, regardless of any age, we want you to come over. Now, Terry, give us the information again for your events that you have over there at the library.
What we're doing right now, and I have to give you more specifics right now, but we're going to start to do some plays at the Raleigh Public Library, but I probably the next time that I speak to you, I will give you some specific dates because we find that it's good to lecture to people, but I think it's even better sometimes to, like, you know, the example of Tyler Perry and T.D. Jakes, to a large extent, is actually doing films that really give the same lesson but in a more entertaining and more accessible arena. And so that's what we're doing. So that's in progress. We're rehearsing.